Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know that everyone is born with psychic abilities? It's just a matter of knowing how to tap into it. Wouldn't it be great to have a podcast that can help? This is the Psychic Inside Show. Joel the Vibrarian,
on a higher frequency,
is on a mission to elevate, enlighten, and empower. We're all born with gifts and abilities, but not all of us recognize or accept them. Hear from people who've opened up to the psychic inside. You'll hear their fascinating stories, and we'll take a peek behind the veil, plus psychic readings and more. Our phone line is open. Dial 646-787-8436. That's 646-787-8436. This is the Psychic Inside Show. And now your host, Joel the Vibrarian.
I love it. I am so excited to be here with you. This is the first episode of a new season of the Psychic Inside Show. I could not be more happy to be here once again. This has been quite a journey. I think we've had over 50 conversations with amazing people, and the whole purpose of these chats has been to explore what it is like to uncover your particular gifts and abilities. Some would call them psychic, some would say intuitive. I think we've all got a little bit of it, and these stories have helped us to recognize things that we might not have made and connected the dots before. So I'm here on Tuesdays on the Vibrary Radio Network, which is on Blog Talk Radio. You might be catching me out on iTunes or in the podcast world, also on YouTube. Welcome to our subscribers who are listening to that through the Vibrary YouTube channel. Lots of ways to connect with these conversations here tonight. Live, you can call 646-787-8436, and we do have callers waiting on the line already this evening. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. If you want to ask a question, you can just press the pound and the one key. That lets me know that you're interested in coming on the air, and someone will connect with you. And we'll do that during the last portion of our show, which is where we sometimes have an opportunity for our guests to interact with you one-on-one. So that's a lot of housekeeping. Please connect with me. It's The Vibrarian. Now, this is all about good vibes, elevating, enlightening, and empowering. So that is V-I-B-E-R-A-R-I-A-N. And you can find me out on all the social channels. So this evening, my guest is a gentleman, and I say that because he just is such the consummate gentleman that I've met in Atlanta probably almost a year ago now. So I often go out to a store called Holistic Health and Wellness in Marietta, Georgia, and I provide readings and client sessions out there and work with the beautiful owners, Don and Stacy. I have an opportunity to meet amazing people who are coming in to just kite community. It's a community hub, but it's also a store and a healing center. So all kind of people are drawn in. And so one day, Don was like, I'm so glad you're here. I've been wanting you to meet this guy. He's so awesome. I can't wait for you to meet him. So I come out from the back and, of course, make introduction with my guest this evening, Christopher Brand. Chris, welcome to the Psychic Inside Show.
Thank you so much. That is, what an awesome intro. That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Well, it was just a great little meeting. We wound up having five or six of us around the register all sharing information. I didn't really know anything too much about you other than like the initial vibe. So I had no idea more about what led me to invite you to the show. But through the months and through those social connections that began to tease forth, I wound up connecting with you on Instagram, and you connected with me on YouTube, and it turns out you read tarot. And then when I connected with you on Instagram, it turns out like you're really funny. And so I started using your post, sending them to my niece and my nephew, like to my sister for her husband, because you're very humorous. So like, there was this whole kind of revelation to me about you as a person through your social presentation. But I still don't know, even to this day, much about you, other than I know we've got the same tarot kind of deck interest, and you know, I know that you're out there in the alternative world, but I'm looking forward to learning more about who you are and how you're showing up today. So first of all, do you resonate with the term psychic?
I do. I'm learning to embrace that more and more as I'm embracing the whole thing. Yes. It definitely, I love the fact that you come from the idea that everyone has psychic abilities. Everyone has that ability within them. It's just whether or not we're, tapping into it or however we're feeling it, however it's coming across. It's a beautiful thing. And I get to see that in people every day. And that's the best part about it.
So like, you would call yourself psychic now?
Yeah, I would say intuitive. Psychic is it's still, that's still hard to, because I come from a very conservative, very 3D part of my life, and I just kind of was reawoken probably maybe 2 years ago, a little longer than that, and it all came back into the flood, and then so adopting that and that, you know, considering myself a psychic, there's times in meditation and stuff, there's a lot of times when, you know, higher self comes in and says, you know, you are psychic. That's the whole point, right? This is the whole thing, you know, you're tap dancing around the issue, like I'm tap dancing just right now. And, I do consider myself a psychic. So yes.
Well, you know, I think that a lot of people who've been on the show and a lot of people who listen to the show can relate to the thing of it not being a comfortable term and actually somewhat of a negative idea in many doctrines across many faiths about what is termed to be extrasensory or outside of the realm. But we have evolved to having a new conversation in the day that we're in today than we did, say, 40 years ago. So, if you look back at your childhood, do you see from this lens where your extrasensory abilities or energies came into play?
Definitely. It's funny, and someone had to kind of remind me of it at one point when I was going through. That's why I said I went through a reawakening not too long ago, is that when I was younger, my mom actually was taking me to psychic development classes, probably when I was around 10 or 12 years old, right in that newer new age development area, the kind of late 80s time frame, and it was at the community college, and she was taking me in there, and I'm sitting in there, and we're talking about, you know, past lives and Edgar Cayce and Atlanteans and star seeds and paranormal ghost hunts and everything like that. So I wouldn't say it was saturated, but it was very, like, very much intense for a period of time. And then an event happened, and it kind of, we just stopped. It was I was about 14 and my sister was 18. We were she was graduating high school. We were setting up a graduation party for her, and my whole idea was, because we kind of lived in a rural area, me and my sister were going to go into town and get a Coke. That was our thing. We'd go to Sonic and grab a Coke. And that would get her out of the house long enough so they could set up for the party. Mm-hmm. And so we took off, and we went for a long drive around the lake. And we were about 15 minutes into the drive. We drove up to the lake area. We saw something over the water, something we couldn't really explain what it was. It was cigar-shaped and silvery. kind of just hovered. Yeah, hovered above the water for a little while. At first, I thought it was like a crack in the windshield. It was that brilliant. And then it just disappeared. And we were kind of sitting there just dumbfounded. And then I looked at my sister, and I'm like, did we just see what we thought was? And so I'm like, well, let's get on home. Let's, you know, let's talk to mom and dad. And because my dad was very much into UFO, you know, UFO theories and stuff at the time. And so my mom was more of the, like, the spiritual side. My dad was the more science-y kind of quantum side of it. And so we get home and we're like, you'll never guess what happened. And they're like, where have you been? And we're like, what are you talking about? We were gone. You know, we just turned. They're like, no, you've been gone for like 3 hours. It was already sunset.
Gosh.
Like,
okay.
Yeah. The sun. Yeah. The it
classic
was midday when we left,
right?
And I came back.
Yeah.
So we had about 3 hours of time loss, and of course, you know, at the time there was no phones. There was no, you know, you just they didn't know where we were. And at that point, when that everything stopped, as far as anything. Paranormal or anything along those lines. We stopped talking about it. We stopped doing anything and kind of moved on into like a very conventional life. And
like the
whole family
kind of pivoted.
Yeah. The whole family did. Yeah. Everybody just kind of like, all right, we're not doing that anymore. And it was just kind of a collective thing. It wasn't, you know, and my dad would even act like he was cause I remember talking to him about a movie that was coming out. And I was like, remember reading that book when you read the book about, the abduction stuff, and he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. That's, you know, so he was almost even like a willfully block on it. And so we went from there. I went into high school and then to college and then law enforcement. I went into a law enforcement career after college and led a very conventional life, but I'd always felt like I was missing something, and I was trying to go to church. I was going to trying to do all these things to try and fill that void. And it wasn't until, like I said, it wasn't until I was, you know, almost 30 years later, 34 years later, I was reactivated in Marietta, Georgia. So like it just kind of came in like a flood. It was, I had gone to the Holistic Wellness Center with Dawn, and I had my first Reiki session there,
and
it was awesome, and it was amazing, yeah, and it was crazy, because I dreamt of Dawn about a week before I saw her and met her, so I was like, okay, this is kind of happening, and there's always, you know, there was always something that happened along the way, even though I was in a, you know, the literal world, or whatever, however you want to refer to it. You know, you always have these coincidences, or you thought, you know, oh, God's looking out for me or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And, after the attunement, the Reiki attunement, the first one I got with Dawn, the following weekend, I went to a tarot class, with Amy Catherine.
Oh, yay.
And, So, and there in the class, she kind of put us in a meditative state, and we were contemplating the cards, and she wanted us to kind of build our own relationship with them. So we were meditating over the death card. And then the images on the card were literally started to move and play out, and everything started. And it was there. It was just, everything just came in as a flood. My ears started ringing. I was having the fractals, the geometric shapes going on as soon as I closed my eyes. My nose started running. My ears started, my eyes were watering. I was losing my mind. I was in the back row of the classroom, losing my mind. And I'm looking up, and I'm like, Amy Catherine's going to ask, like, are you okay? Do you need to go outside or something? You know, because I'm like sitting there just like. this dribbling little mess. And then from that point forward, I was just, it turned on. It was like a switch. Yeah, and at that point it was like too much, because it all came in at once, all these different things. And I was driving back. I was driving back to Texas. I live in Houston. So after the class, that was on my Sunday, I was driving back the next day, and like everything's coming in. Like the GPS had taken me through these smaller towns to kind of, you know, how they take you through the, you know, you don't ever get on the regular highway for a while. And I'm driving by cemeteries, seeing shadows in the cemeteries. Like, I saw a little girl sitting on a porch, which I knew she wasn't there, you know. And so I called my friend, and I'm like, hey, what town is this? I feel really heavy in this town. There's a lot going on. There's some past. I don't know what it is. And I dropped a pin. And she looked it up. She's like, well, you're in Dallas, Georgia. And I'm like, well, there's something going on here. Well, it turns out that was a big historical place there. And yeah, like the whole drive back, I'm just like, it's like drinking from a fire hose, like just stuff just coming in, flooding in. And then when I got to Houston, I met up really quickly. I found another holistic store there, and there was a reader there, and she kind of like brought me in and kind of like got me calmed down. She did some grounding and drumming over me and stuff like that, and kind of like got me more focused. And from there, and then that was like the start of my journey from then. So that was a little over 2 years ago when that happened. So
I mean, that is, it's like fast, but it's also not fast, because like you know, that middle period was not unshaping, you know, but like.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, because that's the thing, is I look back on my past, and there's times, like I said, I was in law enforcement. And so there's a lot of times where I was like, this makes a lot more sense if I look at it from that perspective, you know, I look through, you know, I was Border Patrol in the 90s, in the late 90s. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of times I was on the river by myself in the middle of the night, you know,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, experiencing things that, you know, you just kind of just shrug it off or whatever. And, but later, like, oh, okay, that's what that was. Or could that have been this? Or that seems like it's more likely this. So, and then that's one of the things now, is that's when I realized that the world is so much more amazing and so much more magical to look at it through that lens.
Yeah.
And it's just awesome to be in it now. You know, that's the... Yeah,
it is like once you get through like the dark night of the soul of the proving ground, there is a lot of real, true like delight. Like one of the things that you really do embody is this idea of the laughter energy, and you know, like that is medicine. It's vibrationally enhancing, you know.
Oh yeah.
To put a smile on people's faces as a light work.
Right.
I think that's like custom made, right? Just for
Yeah. Well, and that was one of the things I found prior to, is that, you know, during COVID, when, you know, everybody was kind of locked in their homes, is when we all found TikTok and got on social media. And I found that if I made little jokes on TikTok, that I got a lot of response out of it. You know, there were people who were really enjoying me just dad jokes and, you know, just off-color sayings or something. And so I started just making videos out of it, and it started being a thing. And it got to be where people were like, hey, if I didn't post a video for a while, they were like, where were you? You know, like, and then I was getting the feedback too, whereas people were like, thank you for posting this. You made my day, or you turned my day around. And then when those things kind of come in, you're like, wow, you know, this is impactful. And being able to make someone laugh is a superpower I have. And I use it as much as I can. And it's not, and I'm very fortunate that it's like, it's not hard. It's almost like a reflex. So yeah, it's fun. It's good. It's fine. I mean, I get to be on a podcast talk show with someone who I really, really like and admire, and I don't even have to wear pants because it's on radio.
I know, right? I don't even have my Zoom blouse on. Okay.
Yeah. I was all worried about lighting and stuff in my apartment. I was like, well, forget it. Yeah.
And you know what, that actually is that's very affirming, you know, for me, because one of the things that I am committed to is to continue to bring these narratives forward, because it's really not about what we look like. And there can be a lot of extra that goes into either how people receive the story based on the image they're seeing or our
right.
comfort in presenting our stories. And so to
right.
like be able to really just key in on what is being shared and to build the image in your own mind and resonance of who people are, I think that's
right.
what is allows people to intimately connect in ways where they can say, you know what, I had a crazy awakening too. I didn't even
mm-hmm.
realize what hit me, but next thing you know, I was getting all these messages. And to hear that is just like, thank you. You know, so I appreciate
yeah.
that you're coming on. Now, in terms of the Reiki experience, you first just had like a Reiki session, and then
right.
you were led to become a practitioner, I'm assuming, because like all of us,
right.
the first Reiki is so great. So
right,
did you,
exactly.
Did you study with Dawn then for your Reiki, or did you do that?
I did not. I didn't get
season?
A chance to know. I went with Amy Catherine then, and
because oh, yeah,
I'd taken her tarot classes, because that's what happened when after that first tarot class, I'm like, what do I do next? They work, you know. So I ended up taking. She had she does a series of like 3 tarot classes.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
so
tarot,
yeah, so
right?
every month I was yep. So every month I was back in, you know, I would drive all the way back, you know, to Marietta from Houston, and to take the class, and then I'd go back and go to work. And then after the tarot classes, I was like, okay, what do I do next? And for me, Reiki seemed to be such a logical step because, you know, from the outside point of view, people see it as you know, it's like the energy healing or the hands-on kind of touch healing kind of thing. It doesn't, to some people, it doesn't seem like it would be like a psychic connection, but there
right.
is when you're delivering that, even though you're being a conduit for that energy, it, you connect with that person and you have imagery and things come through and feelings and emotions. And actually for me is even smells. And
mm-hmm.
so when you get to that point, it seemed very intuitive to go into Reiki from there. So yeah, I only went to Reiki 2, and I'm having a hard time finding a teacher here in the Houston area, so I might have to go back and help Dawn to get my Reiki 3, just because it's harder to get a good level of training here
yeah.
where I'm at. So,
and I guess I think I did not know you were in Houston. I knew that I met you in Marietta, and you seemed
right.
to be local. So that, you know, that again, in 2 years, that's a lot of expansion of your
mm-hmm.
awareness, you know. And
yeah.
that's one thing about Reiki that I love is that it's, as you said, it's not about necessarily being psychic or anything overly woo-woo that should make people uncomfortable. And
right.
because it's coming from an unlimited sourcing supply, I think it's just helpful for people on any level to understand that, because so much of self-sourcing
right.
becomes our way of being. And then when you feel after like your attunement, what it feels like to kind of
mm-hmm.
have that clearing of your pipe, so to speak, energetically.
Right. yeah.
You don't
right.
like easily then go back into the prior attunement state if you can at all, which I don't think you can.
Right.
you
no,
know?
No, you can't. Look, yeah, once you actually have, I mean, and that said, once you've actually gotten your Reiki attunements, even just the level 1, there's no going back. You can kind of
mm-hmm.
like, I look at it as learning another language. Like when I was, in the Border Patrol Academy, we had to learn Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying, once you learn another language, once you open that part of your brain up,
yeah.
learning other languages is easier. And I feel like that's an energetic thing as well, too, is that once
yeah.
you've opened yourself up to Reiki, whether it be a just a session when you're receiving Reiki healing,
mm-hmm.
or if you're going through the actual attunement process. So, once you've exposed yourself to that, once you kind of said yes,
mm-hmm.
and let that in, then it works on you. It's like, I like the terminology that it's like a sponge. When you put water to a sponge, the water just flows into the cracks. It does, you know, it knows where to go and it knows what you need. And that's what I think is really beautiful and really, really awesome about it too.
I agree. Just had Don gave me some Reiki over the weekend when I was up there, and I'm level three. My teacher is Lucy Lee, which I just love her to death. But I don't offer that in my healing other than like through my products and then my own personal utilization. Mm-hmm. So I always refer people out. And Amy, let me just say for our listeners, Amy Catherine has been a guest on the Psychic Inside show before. And she also was on my prior podcast, which is still out there for those of you who are out on the directories. But she spoke and broke down some astrology aspects on one of my conversations. And then we've been on In the Cards together reading tarot live on my YouTube channel. So, and I think we're supposed to do it again. So now that I know that you're connected to her, I have not made those dots, then we'll have to go ahead and have a three-way.
All right.
Yeah, three-way card. No, but so tarot, like you took to it, like it unlocked an awareness in you that it seems like it maybe past life or what?
Well, that's something I'm learning about myself is that I've been in this kind of healer situation, kind of a shamaness many times. And that's just what's kind of gone on and taken to it. This time around, I guess the tarot seems to work for me because it's more of like the Rorschach kind of thing where it allows me, it kind of guides my intuitiveness. So, so if I'm doing a reading for someone, it might not necessarily be, you know, right or weight. Explanation of what it is. It's just, it's what it's leading me to believe. Cause then I'm gonna be like, well, this is what I'm feeling when this card pops up. Is how does that work for you? And where, you know, the cards just kind of get me going and get me focused on what this was instead of, cause if someone just sat down and looked at me blank in the face and I'm supposed to tell them, you know, what's going on in their life or, you know, or how to help, then I'm just gonna be like, do you like tacos? I like tacos. Let's talk about tacos, you know, and just, but at least tarot. And that also happens with the Reiki part too, is that if I'm doing some Reiki healing, like something, I was Reiki and a friend and her pet shows up, you know, the pet that passed and you know, that kind of stuff. And it's just, you know, it's stuff like that. It's just really cool. And then Reiki and pets too. That's another fun thing too. So yeah, so the tarot aspects is it gives me I don't want to say an end, but it's just an avenue to start, because that's all I need. I just need to get the ball rolling, and then you know, then I'll tumble on down.
When it's a prompt, Jenner, it's the prompt. Like now, everybody's talking about what are your AI prompts? Well, your spirit prompt is the. When you visually see, would you say then that you're clairvoyantly oriented, or are you beginning to you begin to experience feelings? Are you kind of all blended up in a, like, what are your clairs? Like what's
my clairs? There is a degree of clairvoyance, clairaudience, and whatever it is that with the smell. The Claire knows, Claire smell, whatever
just
Claire
knows.
Because I can actually, we were driving out with, and that just kind of happens. So I'd be like, oh, I smell tobacco or I smell leather or something like that. And then that just kind of leads me, or it'll help trigger a memory. And it's not my memory. It's whatever I'm remembering for that. Yeah, that kind of thing. So
that's so cool. That one took me back too, like, because it's intermittent, like, that hint of a thing and then the story that comes with it or the presentation that comes with it. Now, your feeling, you seem to be a strongly clairsentient feeler, psychic.
Yep. I would agree with that, yes.
Now, what's also interesting that I found in your bio is that you've gone into the rabbit hole, the human design rabbit hole.
Oh,
I
God,
started
yes.
around the edge of the human design rabbit hole, but I don't have the brain power to process it all.
It is an ugly date. It is a date that you have to. Yeah, I mean, on the surface level, it's really nice and fun. But when you realize, like, all right, this is fine. What do I do with this information? I'm a 5-1 generation emotional generator, and to break that down, you know, like, okay, that's fine. And then there's how to digest and your different things. I can't remember one was. What's your environment? My environment's a kitchen, and you know, stuff like that. It's that is another level. And what's really cool is the original person who developed human design had a certain take on a lot of the gates and channels that are there. And some of it is a little bit, not really dark, but a little bit kind of almost negative.
Mm-hmm.
But there's new interpretations that are coming out that give you a little bit better view. Cause gate 39, I think, someone else referred to it as the warlord gate, but it's the ability to overlook people, be kind of a leader, but being like a forceful leader. And to where this is like my family. I'm going to take care of them, but I'm going to go to war for these people. I'm going to protect these people. I'm going to keep them but I'm going to nurture. It's also a nurturing gate, but at the same time, you kind of have a mama bear. I guess the mama bear would be the best.
So,
human design is really great. And then also too, there's gene keys that are connected to that too, which is another.
I've been dabbling in the gene keys in terms of just kind of reading and getting the little podcast notes where they kind of break down. I've got all those in my inbox, and I listen to some because it's like some days when they come in, it's such a synchronicity with what he's spotlighting from the key.
Right.
But it's like, okay, I need to pay attention to this today. But again, the thickness of the teaching, it's like, it's so intense. It's like the difference between the Cosmo version of astrology or your basic astrology understanding and what astrologists really can do if given a synastry. You know, like it's
right.
So much complexity to it. For those who really get it, but there's not really a Cliff's Note version of human design.
No, there's not. There's not. I mean, and there's a couple of great apps online about it, but it's still
you
it
gotta
still
go
really,
in.
Yeah, and then there's like a paywall and stuff like that to get through, and that's kind of annoying. But and then like the gene, because like I remember that first conversation I had with you at Dawn's. And we talked about light codes and angel codes and stuff. And then from what I understand, too, is the gene keys are kind of more related with light coding and that kind of stuff. There's that it goes on. So there's that whole other aspect, too. And for me, I love saying gene keys because it makes me think of Scooby-Doo. And I just I say it as one word. It's like gene keys.
That's funny. Now I'm going to use that. Oh, that's hilarious. So
you just use it in response to something, you know, just like, well, jinkies.
Jinkies. But that's probably the answer to everything is jinkies, right? Okay.
Yeah, jinkies. Yeah, there you go. Like, oh, it's jinkies. Yeah.
Well, with the human design, like, I mean, and I don't want to go, like, deeply into it, but out of that journey that you took, you've stated in your bio that 5-1 emotional generator was the thing you wanted to convey. So if you would have to share with a person who's looking to explore themselves, what did the human design or does the emotional generator, how does it play into like your journey now in terms of what did it unlock for you?
Well, it's that's the neat thing about that is why I put that on my bearded tarotist Instagram, because I have two Instagrams. I have the Animal Beard brand and my bearded tarotist. My bearded tarotist is more of the spiritual side. And I put that on there so that because I like the idea of that making that more normal as just as normal as asking what your zodiac sign is. You know, I'm an Aquarius or whatever. And so when people start to kind of get a little bit familiar with just the basic parts of it, then that makes a little bit better understanding, especially when you're going into talking to somebody and having conversations with them. Because like for a generator, for me, a generator is basically it's really cool because basically all I need to do is figure out the things that light me up, do the things that I like, and it helps me generate energy for everybody else to use. So that's the essence of a generator is just, it's kind of the whole you be you, bro, but you do the things. And it's not like, it's not a, you know, immoral type of having fun or enjoying things.
Right.
It's doing the true things. Like if you like to study, if you like to cook, if you like to dance or sing or whatever, doing those things that make you feel good inside, that actually creates energy for others to use. And then that's what some of the other human design people need that energy because, you know, projectors don't create energy. They use energy. So they're using the energy from another area. So then a projector can go, and it's kind of counterintuitive to be called a projector because they have kind of a laser focus. They can kind of see the big picture, but laser it into the different answers. My daughter's a projector, and it, she's 22 years old and has great insight. You know, I'll ask her tons of questions and she has great insight, but people won't listen to her because she's 22 years old. But it's the generator aspect of, the projector aspect of it. And then if you're lucky enough to be a manifesting generator, you're literally manifesting things and generating energy at the same time. So again, engaging in things that, you know, you like to do and being a creative person, creating things actually helps you create energy and stuff as being a manifesting generator. And then there's manifestors and reflectors and there's like five or six of them.
Like kind of being like, if you figure out that Capricorns are good with money and you do that, like
exactly.
It's all ways to, what do you say, know thyself or to understand or shift how we used to operate versus how we operate with expanded awareness on any level.
And that was the thing too, is that coming out of my second marriage, I had a really bad second marriage, and there was an abusive narcissistic relationship on the opposite side. I received the physical abuse out of it. It was a very traumatic. It was 11 years. And so coming out of that, I didn't know anything about myself. I was basically a shell of the person I was at one point. You know, I didn't know who I was. So things like human design and, you know, even the spiritual path has actually helped me heal a lot of my PTSD because it kind of helps me, say who I am. You know, this, you know, like I am this person. This is what I'm supposed to do. I am, I am supposed to be this way. And those are those I am statements that help you ground yourself and solidify and be like, hey, this is really who I am. This is, you know, this is part of me. This is what makes me happy in the real sense of happiness, not that non-existent happiness. So, it's a great way. I've seen people that have, you can kind of figure out the people that have a lot of trauma, even generational trauma going on in their lives. And I think human design is really good for that in letting them realize who they are. Kind of, because you could, again, like we were talking about the negative connotations with being called a psychic, you kind of look it back too, is with like with astrological signs and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. People pretty much, you know, a big group of people will roll their eyes if you,
Yeah,
Mercury's in the microwave again, and right. You know, they just blow it off. But if you, but with human design, it has a little bit more of a conventional approach to it where you can say, oh, okay, that is that, you know, I do like being that way. It's like the whole digestion part. It'll tell you, you know, well, you're the type of person that needs, well, mine's cold foods. So to live a more aligned life, I need to add cold foods to my diet when I eat. So that could be a salad, some rough, but, you know, something along those lines. And it's kind of funny because I'm like, yeah, well, I really do like, I'm a sandwich eater. I like sandwiches. Like go to, you know, Jersey Mike's or Jimmy John's or whatever. And, you know, that'll suit me fine every time. So, yeah. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense. Well, I see where that's coming from. And it, like I said, it just gives you another sense of being who you are, who I am, is.
Do human design work with your clients? Like, could somebody sit with you for a human design unpacking?
Not yet.
Okay.
Kind of, but not yet.
Okay.
Because I'm like you. I'm still trying to delve into something where I feel comfortable enough to explaining things to. You know, I'm kind of at that point where I kind of understand it for myself, but it's hard to explain in a layman term. So, yeah, and there's other people out there that do a much better job than that. And
I mean, it's, like I said, it's a huge rabbit hole. Like, I'm thinking about like 2 years of time in terms of how deeply you dove into various silos of very intense and informing metaphysical subject.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
Even to like say, okay, you're riding in the car and you're seeing beings and your veil is open and you're getting psychic messages and seeing all this reality stuff hits you, and then it's like, okay, well, now what? What am I supposed to do with this? And then you're led to read about human design that gives you the path that says, you can just do something that makes you happy,
mm-hmm.
versus all the other narratives that might come forward with what you're supposed to do now. Like, I'm supposed to be an exorcist, but I don't want to be an exorcist. Like, oh, you're supposed to be a medium, but I don't want to be a medium. I want to make people laugh, and I want to be happy. Like, you know, so that's a quick 2-year turnaround for you to be in a good free state.
Right. Well, and that's funny you say that, because there is, I have a story about mediumship too, which was really kind of interesting, is that I was told my friend Leilani, that was helping me through when I met with her the first time, you know, she was kind of helping ground me and stuff. She's like, well, there's a lot of mediumship. There's like, you have access to that other side. And I was like, I don't want that. I don't want, you know, because all I know is from watching the, you know, TV shows. I don't want people standing in my hallway, you know, like, I don't want to be freaked out like that. Stuff like that. I don't want to do that. And so I resisted it for a long time. And I used to do what I was called these, I still do them. It's what I call a Reiki walk. And it's I go out for a regular walk, but at the time I'm moving energy around and I'm kind of just flowing with it. And a lot of great stuff happens when I'm doing that. Again, I get to start seeing things kind of in the peripherals, things will pop out. I had a deer walk up to me out of nowhere, just walk up like it wanted to be petted, you know? Yeah, it was just some really cool stuff. But I was out on this Reiki walk and I was listening to a podcast about mediumship, and the lady was talking about it, and I was like, you know, so I'm supposed to be a medium as well. I mean, I have mediumship abilities or whatever. How would that work? How do I reach out and you know, how do I reach out and do this in a safe way or whatever? Mm-hmm. And immediately I started thinking about a friend of mine that had passed the year before, because I was thinking, well, if I got a chance to talk to him, I would like to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he he passed from, he had inoperable brain cancer, and it took him pretty quick. And he had two younger sons. He has a son about my age, or my son's age, which is probably about, I think he was like 15 or 16 when he passed. And then a younger son. And then I started thinking about the his sons as well. And I started, then all of a sudden, like, just Matt was just in my head. Like, it was just, that's all I could think about. And then I was overcome with these emotions and like really like weeping and not even listening to the podcast anymore. Just again, feeling this going on. And I was like, then I realized, I'm like, this is my connection. This is how he's connected with me. And so then I'm like, well, what do I do with this information? What do I have with this? What do I, you know, like now I know I'm connected to what happened. And I can just, I can see his face. I can think about the times that we were out, when we did go out, have a beer, when we're out working jobs together and stuff. And I, and so finally I did, and I do this when I, like, when I feel like I have angel message that I don't understand, I just say, look, I'm not getting it. I don't understand. I don't know what you're doing. You're going to have to figure out another way.
Right.
Yeah. You're going to have to figure out another way to get a hold of me. Cause I don't, I'm not getting it. It's not working. And this is not working here, you know? And so the last image I have is him laughing at me, like, you know, like, you idiot, you know, that kind of stuff. And it kind of, and then it went away. And then about a week later, I had another coworker call me, and he's like, hey, did so-and-so get a hold of you? And I'm like, no, who's that? And he goes, that's Matt's son. He's been trying to get a hold of you for a few weeks now. And I'm like, why is he trying to get a hold of me? And he's like, well, he wants to get his concealed carry handgun license, which I'm a, I'm an instructor for the state of Texas to teach concealed carry. And he's like, he can get it at his age now, and he doesn't know what to do about it. He goes, I immediately thought of you, and I put him in. He's like, is it cool if I put him in contact with you? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. So I get in contact with my friend's son, the friend that just passed away, within a week of this whole process. And then the class to put it together so I could teach him, it just fell right in line. I mean, it was one of those things where I'm like, I had to find a place to teach him. I was like, well, let's go to the local library, see what happened. I go and talk to the lady about having a classroom, and she's like, we don't have anything available. It's all booked up. And I was like, I just need 4 hours. And she's like, well, we don't even have them for 4 hours. You can only get them for 2 hours at a time. So I'm like, oh, well. And I'm literally leaving the library, and she comes chasing me down all out of breath. We had a last-minute cancellation. You can have this room, and you can have it until the next person comes in. I can't guarantee how long it is, but you can have it till the next person comes in. Great. So we get in there. I go through the class. I test them. We end up actually having a few great talks about things about life, and then actually kind of one of those things when you, when defending yourself and that kind of stuff, kind of a father-son conversations and stuff. And we get done. I'm putting the computer away. The lady comes to the door. She's like, we need the room now. I'm like, it's great. We're done. You know? So I go, I take him to the gun range, I qual him. It just so happened there was a free pass at the gun range, so we didn't even have to pay for him to go in there. You know, like everything just fell into place. And so I sent him on his way, and then I got to sit in my truck and connect with my friend again and kind of mourn his passing and tell him how much I miss him and that kind of stuff. So it was
Oh my gosh, that is beautiful, right? Like, in spite of our reticence, you know, to have it happen in a gentle way of all ways for it to be the vehicle for you, right?
Exactly. So, that's why I'm very grateful to be going through LSO, to be on this path. And it might not be as easy for some people, but it's just been an amazing ride for me.
And like I said, it is fun. I mean, it is got its highs for sure. Like, it's got its unknown factor. You know, I think that I have a similar feeling with the mediumship, right? Because there is a lot that goes with using your sensory network, right? Mm-hmm. And so the first time I ever experienced the psychic smelling, I didn't even realize it until afterwards, but it was a mediumship. It was the mother of the Uber driver, who was an elder gentleman, but it was his mother, and it was like, I smelled juicy fruit, and we started talking about juicy fruit, and then he said his mom gave him juicy fruit as children, and it was like, mm-hmm. she showed me how happy it made her seeing them find those little pieces of gum that she would leave for them, and I could feel then her delight. And I was trying to talk to him about it, not even realizing. And when I got out of that Uber, it was like a gust of wind blew me out, right? Like, and I walked into the place. I said, "You guys, I just had my first communication from somebody's spirit, you know." And I've been reading tarot for years and doing intuitive, but I really, like you, was like, "Okay, mediumship. What am I supposed to do with this now?"
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that was the scariest thing. I don't want to talk to dead people. I don't want to be standing there in my underwear and a dead person walk up to me. I don't want that to happen.
All right. No.
But spirit doesn't do that. That spirit, like you said, spirit will, you know, how you are able to take it in is how it's going to come to you. It's you know.
Right. Not too much. Because even like the grief, right, part of being open to our human experience and senses is how truly deeply connected we are. We're more connected to our environment than we realize. You know, that's why things like the loss of our pet, or the loss of loved ones, or the change of life in a divorce or a job, all those things really mm-hmm. impact us multidimensionally. So when you begin to open yourself up, there is a vulnerability that comes with operating with more senses open, you know?
Right.
And that can be something we are very protective of ourselves. It's too much.
Oh, for sure, yeah. You know? Yeah, it is, yeah. Agreed. Yeah.
Now,
and you know, that's one of the, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. One of the things.
One of the things that is why I feel like why men tend to be more reluctant to kind of listen to that part of it is, like you said, is the vulnerability part of it. Men
mm-hmm.
don't always
mm-hmm.
want to be vulnerable, but you have to kind of open yourself up that way and allow it to kind of wash over you. And traditional men aren't going to want to do that. And so that's another part of mine is that I feel like that's another part of my journey too, is I feel like I'm led to kind of bridge that part with other men to deal with, you know, to kind of like, hey, you can be this way. You can be open to this stuff and listen and, you know, put it that way. You know, that's another part I feel that's in me as well. So.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things about human design that I've distilled it to in my understanding is, to me, it is a very logical experience of our energy. So it's like the computer circuitry. So for those that are of an analytical masculine processor, it's better than astrology, which kind of gets into, mm-hmm. although astrology is more exact than people realize. That's why I say it's not necessarily a great example, but it speaks
right.
to a logical framework of I'm a code, if I do such and such, if I feed my body, et cetera, et cetera. But opening to the emotional feeling of crying and connecting with the grief of your friend is a lot different from understanding how your circuits are wired.
Yeah, jinkies.
You know? it is. And, you know, one of the things that you do in what I've seen you is that father that tells the silly joke, right? That mm-hmm. father that's there with the deadpan face but dropping the most hilarious thing just to see the kids delight at how silly he is but how funny it is. That is like the embodied, emotionally connected masculine. That's the fun dad, right?
Right.
That's bear hugging you, that's embracing you, and always ready to raise your vibration. To me, is how you're very much embodying the new templates. And that's just from my Instagram, my Instagram
feed. Right. Well, yeah, that's very insightful. And I mean, I take that almost as a compliment of that. So that's, I appreciate you noticing that.
I mean, absolutely. And that's one thing.
And my own kids don't always get that. My own kids roll their eyes at me most of the time, but yeah.
Oh, but yeah, I'm sure that it's ingrained in them. They probably have their own little sense of derivative humor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my kids have some of the greatest sense of humor, and they're not shy about using it either. So,
well, I wonder where they get that from. Now, are you offering Reiki services or psychic services to people in the Houston area at this time?
Yes and no. I mean, it's like my friend Leilani will reach out to me and she'll say, you know, that she had asked someone that she was seeing, a client of hers, her husband, she's basically saying he doesn't work well with women. Like he's not into it too much, but he kind of wanted to talk to a man, but he was afraid of tarot. So she's like, can I give him your number and can you do a reading and not use tarot? And I was like, okay, you know, well, you know, and I'm still waiting to hear from them too. But yes, I will do readings. I haven't stepped fully into that part yet to where I can, because, you know, I do have my Reiki table. I have more crystals than anybody should have. And I just got some from Dawn. She shipped some to me and I'm so happy with those. But, I do pet Reiki as well. It's almost case by case kind of thing. If you need me, get a hold of me and we'll work through it. That for sure. That's definitely how I like to go about it. So
do you have any other 3D businesses that you would like people to know about?
I do teach the license to carry for the state of Texas. So if someone wants their concealed handgun permit, I do teach that as well. And I'm considering taking up some kind of life coaching mantle kind of process, but that's a little bit further down the road. I still have to kind of work on my program with that. Cause I just, I did a podcast about 2 weeks ago with a men's health person and I really enjoyed talking with him. So I'm considering delving into that kind of like the men's group kind of, self-help kind of part of it. So
that's in the works. I was thinking about, you know, how much our healing services go back into the places that we experience our wounding. And as an ex-wife of a law enforcement officer, there's a lot, right, going on in terms of the emotional wounds in the profession of public safety and in the families and all of that. And so it's like turning back around, like you said, to show men that there's ways that you can be that are soft, that are open, that are not overly patriarchal or militarized, you know. And to address the harms, the PTSD and the things that you've had to do in your career, I'm sure that you'll be turning around as a healer back into that profession.
Yeah, definitely. And that's something I very much want to do as well. I mean, that's something that's very, that's put on my heart there to do it that way. So, because that's the thing is that the only way to rewire your brain from PTSD, from some traumatic stress, is either medication, talk therapy, or meditation. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's light worker stuff. If you remove the medication part, which, you know, the other, the talk therapy and meditation, that's light worker stuff there. So that's already, you know, the cure, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I know that we've had people here on the line, and Chris, if you would not mind then pulling a couple cards for our guests for our last little wrap up here. I do want to let everybody know that tomorrow on the Vibra YouTube channel, we will be doing full-on readings for the collective as to the energies. Tomorrow's the 22nd. I believe it's the full moon. Or 21st.
Wow.
It's the 21st. The full moon's the day after that. So we've got some, and I think it's in Virgo, which should be very interesting. We're going to see what tarot guidance wants to come through for people who join us. And that's Vibrary, like library, V-I-B-E-R-A-R-Y. And that is on Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern time. We will be video live and ready to connect. So are you good with going ahead and having our caller get a question asked, Chris?
Sure, sure. I think she's been waiting a long time, right? So
yeah,
I think that deserves a little bit of something.
Absolutely, absolutely. So what we're going to do, just so you know, this is the public space, so this does go out into the world for posterity. So if there's anything that's overly personal, you will be able to take that offline for Chris to answer you maybe in a more private way. But we just have to disclose that you're basically having a spiritual conversation in a public forum. So, Chris, is there anything that you would like to state about, like your method of reading or anything, before we bring Ms. Pat on?
I just say let her rip and see what happens. I'll probably end up doing like a 3-card pull, and we'll just see where it goes from there.
Wonderful.
And I did think when you were talking about the personal part, I thought you were talking to me, not the caller. So I was like, oh, well, I've been talking about personal this whole time.
Oh, no.
So like that was.
No, we just don't want anybody to, you know, come on. And if something comes out in spirit, that's like, oops, I didn't know we were going to talk about this. Maybe we should take this at home. All right. Well, let's see here. Let us see. Pat, thank you so much for your patience and for tuning in this evening. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Thank you for taking my call.
Excellent. So you have a question for Chris this evening.
I do. I want to say this is my first time on your show and first time meeting Chris Brand. Did you say you're having another show tomorrow?
Well, it'll be on my YouTube channel tomorrow. We'll be live pulling cards on video.
Yep.
Can you give me the name?
You get to see my face on that one.
Yes,
oh, cool.
It is.
Can you...
It's the Vibrary YouTube, and that's V as in victory, I-B-E-R-A-R-Y. Vibrary.
Great.
Yeah, and you can look for the Bearded Tarotist on, and he should. We've already got the event scheduled, so it should come up hopefully pretty quickly if you search on YouTube. It'll be live at 8. We'll be co-streaming and drawing cards. So I'm looking for.
Okay.
We're going to be talking cards. We're also going to be talking about the decks that Chris has got lined up to share, which I'm super excited about. So thank you for asking. I hope you'll join us.
I'll definitely look for it. I'm not sure if I can come in live with comments. I'm still trying to work that out. But anyway, thank you. I don't know if you, Chris, just want to pull cards or if you want me to ask a question. I'm happy with either.
Okay. Well, I mean, is there something? Well, nice to meet you, Pat, just first of all. I'm sorry about
nice
that.
Nice to meet
that's
you.
Didn't
too.
Want to jump right into. But is there something you're wanting to know, or you want a general reading, or like, is there something pressing on you?
There's a lot pressing on me. Maybe. Do you think maybe the cards will indicate something and we can go from there?
Okay. I'm going to tell you right now, is there a male thing going on? Is there something with a male presence with you right now?
I don't know.
Okay.
I've been single. Do you want answers or just... It could be my son. It could be on my mind. I've been single for 35 years and I want a relationship. And I've been trying to do some healing work with energy, and maybe that's what's coming through. I kind of feel that I maybe didn't protect myself enough from that. So, Not sure. Let's see what you find out.
All right, Chris has called, just dropped. He'll be calling right back in. Sorry.
Okay.
It just dropped from there. I could tell he was trying to talk and my dashboard just lit up. So we'll give him just a minute to dial back in here.
Okay. Great.
I do. So, and I'm just going to hold space for him to pop back on here. Meanwhile, in the chat, we had a message from Amy, his instructor that he referenced, and said, "Hello, Chris," with exclamation. Here he is. Okay, here he's back. All right, Chris.
So sorry about that.
No problem. I was just sharing that Amy shouted out in chat, "Hey, Chris." So back to your regularly scheduled question.
Okay. Hey, Amy. Awesome. So, okay, let's get, I'm sorry I got disconnected for a second there. So let's just dip into these cards a little bit and see what they have to say. Let's just do that.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so we've got the Knight of Wands, the Nine of Swords, and the Queen of Pentacles in reverse. So okay, what I'm feeling here, Pat, please don't take this the wrong way. It's just sometimes things can be a little frank. I think you're trying too hard. You're trying too hard. It's like it's something that's you're focused on. It's kind of causing a blind spot. It's so much in your field of view, something that you're wanting really bad. It's something that is definitely keeping you up at night.
There's a lot of worry about money and really trying to pull in work and just seeing work slip away instead of coming in. And, you know, I try to connect to God about it and know I'm taken care of, but I keep slipping every time I lose something else, a job or whatever. I just get really, it's been tough. Yeah.
Right. I understand that. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what's showing is that it does, kind of, how are you, what's kind of the different ways that you're trying to manifest? Are you, how are we working on that?
Well, things have always just pretty much come to me if I've been focusing on them. I've been focusing a lot on trying to get my apartment more organized so maybe I can do some small paintings to sell. I do animal portraits, but I don't really have a business going with that. And I thought maybe I'd do maybe more, I hate the word whimsical, but more whimsical of paintings of dogs. And then I'm a dog walker, a cat sitter, a house sitter, a dog sitter. And I was taking care of a woman with Alzheimer's for a very short time, and she just got quickly worse. So I lost that. I'm sort of losing my schedule of dog care. So I'd like to, the biggest thing is I bought a old used car. It's a great car, but it takes a lot of money to maintain it. So that's kind of made me worry more than usual. I make small income and I usually do quite well managing that, but it's gotten really difficult, much more difficult.
Okay. So I understand. I feel where you're at, though, that everybody's going through that, has gone through that where it's really tight. What I'm getting is that focusing on your lack or focusing on the things you want, is kind of almost what's causing that block for you, because if you
right.
think about it, if you say, you know, I want more money in the bank, I want the term of is to be in lack of. So when you're saying I want more money, you're saying I'm lacking, I'm
right.
going to have lack.
Right.
You're putting that out. And the universe kind of only works in absolutes. It's very it's like when you're talking to the dogs, and you're talking to your animals that you're taking care of. You don't go into these big explanations on why they need to go to the bathroom outside. You just need to take them outside and let them do their, you know, wander
right.
around until they do their thing. So that's kind of, you don't need to over explain it. You need to look at it as, I have abundance coming to me. Abundance is on its way. It's getting here. I'm just ready for it. I'm readying myself for it. It sounds like you're doing some really amazing creative things moving on, and I feel like that's something that you need to kind of look into, using your creativity to bring that into you. So to quit focusing, not focusing so much on the things that you need or want, or like, oh God, how's this going to happen? Which that it's on its way. The abundance is on its way. You just need to be ready for it.
Okay. I feel like I have been positive. I have been preparing, almost intuitively knowing that things will manifest. It will take
mm-hmm.
a few months and so on. But to see things go, to lose things while I'm manifesting and positive, and even with the job, I was just thrilled to be getting in more money and just – I was really up, and then I lose. It's I take a few steps and then I lose. I take a few steps and lose. It's just
I understand. Yeah,
that way. And I am, you know, I've been focusing a lot on painting and getting the word out, talking to people, letting people know I'm looking for more work in a positive way, you know. As a matter of fact, today I was going to call someone up, and I thought, wow, you feel like you need work. I said, don't say that, Pat. Just say, you know, and I just left a really upbeat message. So I go back and forth. I get kind of knocked off balance a little because it's hard
right
now. It's hard for everybody.
I understand. I understand completely, yeah.
Yeah, I just kind of want to know that I will be okay until things kind of grab on and get better financially. And you asked about a man. I'm curious about that. I think maybe I was rambling when you got disconnected about that.
That was just a flash. As soon as you started talking, there was some masculine energy that came in, and I was kind of jumping the gun a little bit. Maybe I thought that perhaps you were going to ask about a relationship. That's why I was, that's what popped in my mind.
Well, that's also a big thing on my mind too, because
okay.
I've been single for 35 years and I've been
right.
ready to manifest in the past sort of year and a half. I'm, you know, thinking about that a lot, what I want and so
yeah.
on, and manifesting the things that I do want and being open to it. And actually, someone came in last year from the eclipse to the eclipse, and it was amazing because I felt unconditional love for the first time since I was 18, and I just had a blast with that, even though this guy clearly was not going to be the right one. And it ended up abruptly. He literally had to make it ugly to back out. And it was wonderful because it gave me an opportunity to do some quick healing. And I feel like maybe that was kind of giving me the message that it's coming in and get ready and, you know, finish
mm-hmm.
learning what you need to learn. So yeah, that's on my mind too. Money and math.
Yeah. A lot of those situations like that teaches a lot of what we don't want, and it helps us build that list of the things we don't want. And but being able to flip those into the things that are coming your way can be kind of challenging sometimes, for sure. I understand that completely.
I just want to say I had a blast because feeling that unconditional love, even
mm-hmm.
though it was painful and empty in so many ways. I learned from all of it. The unconditional love allowed me to step back and look at this human being that was incapable and to be able to continue to love him. And clearly had to get him out of my life at a certain point because it wasn't doing me any good. But it just was a great trip for me. I had a blast.
Right.
I had a blast talking to my therapist about it and learning quick healings of stuff that hadn't, you know, come up because I'd been so single for so long. So it was wonderful. And, you know, in a negative situation, it was really wonderful. So I was grateful for the experience.
Right. Let's take a little kind of a detour here real quick. You're talking about things that you love and stuff. Can you list me, just give me a list of three things that you love right now?
I'll tell you what I'd love in my life is to be in nature, to have abundance money to be able to take care of dogs the way I want to. Right now I'm fostering.
Okay.
I've rescued hounds for 35 years. And I want companionship, love, friendship. You know, friendship is great as the love. I'm ready for that. And a lot, you know, I'm hoping for a lot to come with that because it's been so many years where I've gone without so many things.
Right.
I'm 70 I want, you know, the next 20 years to be good ones and I want to have energy for it and be productive. I haven't had that chance. I've had a real difficult life. So I really want the chance to be productive.
Right. I know. It's rough. It's hard to see those messages of abundance, those good things that come through from you. Is that when you were talking about unconditional love, that's what I want you to take for something I had to learn for myself is that I went through a lot of relationships looking for unconditional love, but I didn't have unconditional love for myself. Conditions I put on myself. And it wasn't until I embraced those things for myself that things started to flow in for me personally. That's a very hard lesson to learn. And it took me a long time. And I'm only 51. And it was when I was like 48 when I figured that out. Not even 48. It was 49 when I figured that out. So I understand where you're coming from.
Besides what you're saying, I also need to experience that, create a relationship with God, and that as well as loving myself is going to be fulfilling. But you know what? I went into my therapist one day and I said, "Was this all an illusion? How could my mood have been so lifted by being with another human being?" I said, "I feel really kind of stupid." He said, "Not at all." He said, "We're social beings and we can make each other feel good." So for a while I was really questioning the validity of the great things I was feeling with this other human being and thinking it was an illusion or thinking I was putting myself down about it, and he made me realize, no, it's a good thing. We can give each other great feelings, and it can be real. Yeah.
You were taking the information that you had at the time, and it was making you feel great. It wasn't until you realized something else that that changed for you. That's nothing to get down on yourself at all. We're all wanting those things to be better for us, there's nothing wrong with wanting that. And there's nothing wrong with searching for that or looking for that. Just don't let it blind you to where you're not taking care of yourself or you're not focusing on yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, do this for me. Let's try this. Let's try an experiment. Let's try for a week. And before you go to bed, you write down three things that you love about yourself. and three things that are coming to you because you love yourself.
Okay.
Can you do
good
that
idea.
For me?
That's a good exercise. I will do that.
And then you can reach out to me on my Instagram. You can message me and let me know how it goes. Let me know what happens.
Cool. That's a good exercise.
I hope you can come into the talk tomorrow. I hope you can to see you tomorrow too.
I'm going to try. I'm grateful for both of you. You've been very generous with your time, and I want to let you go so you can speak to others if there are other callers. Thank you both so much.
Thank you so much.
Great, Pat, just to even have, you know, there's always a reason why we're prompted to share, and we never know who is going to resonate. And so even just being fly on the wall for the conversation, I received guidance that I needed too, because I think figured out my singlehood, right? But the exercise about the things that are coming to you because you love yourself, that was like a that's beautiful, Chris. So thank you.
It's great. It's really great and unique. So thank you. And I'll be keeping in touch. And it's nice to meet you both. And I'll be back.
Nice to meet you.
Where are you calling from? What state are you calling from, if you don't mind?
Okay,
wonderful. Well, welcome. Thank you so much for showing up this evening.
Thank you.
And we'll be back next Tuesday. I've got another show. Pat, I'm going to put you back on the listen line as I wrap everything up here. So thank you and be well.
Yeah, God bless. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pat.
So, yes, this is great. Next week, let me tell you all, tomorrow we'll come back to that, but next week on the Psychic Inside Show, my guest is Chris Hay, another Chris, okay, this one with a K, and she's a lady. But Chris, this is going to be her second time with me on the show. Chris is the force behind all things intuitive, which has risen to prominence as a oracle card creating company that she has launched herself and continues to receive guidance that she sends out. And we are going to catch up with her on what her life has looked like the last 4 years since launching her business. And then we're going to read cards as well and using the All Things Intuitive. I think I've got 5 decks from them. So we'll be using those. That's next week. And then I've got a couple more shows already in the wings. I'm going to tantalize and dangle a couple morsels. But most importantly, I do hope that you join me tomorrow because, Chris, okay, we're going to be talking tarot and oracle cards. And I know that one of the decks that I featured in your spotlight picture is the Star Trek deck, which has been in my little wish list for quite some time. And then...
Okay.
What other decks are you going to share? Well, there's one that I'm really, really interested to know about. And then, of course, the second one that's more fun and seasonal, but we'll also share about that probably in a future episode. That's the Zombie Oracle deck. I think we're going to table that one till later. But what decks will you be bringing to the party?
Well, I was actually going to bring the Zombie Tarot deck, but we can use that for another time. But yeah, I'll bring out the Star Trek deck. And then as far as Oracle cards go, I have one that deals with addiction recovery using the law of attraction. So that is a beautiful deck. And this great lady, Mary Beth, created it. She, I consider we're friends because we talked to each other like 2 times on Instagram. So like we got to be friends now, right? And she's a friend of mine, and we'll pull some cards from there, and then I don't know. I'll try and find some wild cards to deal with. I went and got that dragon oracle deck that you talked about last week.
Cool!
Yeah, that was really nice. So, yep. So,
I really did see you on your Instagram, the bearded tarotist. Tarot just why did that tangle my tongue so? But
that was the whole point.
That.
It's the bearded tarotist is the whole thing. It's a tongue twister.
I know. I'm like, is the T silent? Is there a T? Is it tarotist? But you were drawing from that addiction oracle, and the message was very timely. Like, and I thought, oh, I definitely want to see more of that deck too. So it's going to be great. Whatever decks wind up making their way to the table for us to bring in the messages that are going to be most helpful for us and the others who join us. I'm super excited, Chris. So is
great,
there any last kind of like an idea or concept that you would like in the Book of Chris that we just wrote this evening to share with people that about their particular experience?
You know, actually, yeah, because I wrote this down. I come across some little infographic on Instagram, and I was like, this means a lot to me, and if I get a chance, I want to mention it. So it's about being in the Pisces season right now. Mm-hmm. And with that, be sure to use your intuition, go with the flow, use your creativity, do more of what makes you happy, focus on self-care and reflection, and let go of worry and doubt.
That feels good.
Right.
It feels very Piscean, very watery and empathetic and Well, I think that is great wisdom for any day. And so, Chris, thank you. I have enjoyed talking with you. I hope that next time you're in Atlanta, give me a heads up and we'll go and play Reiki and crystals together and have a great time, I'm sure, because as I said before, you just bring a natural smile to my face, even talking with you just on the phone. I hope you could feel that love this evening.
Yes, I'm grinning from ear to ear. This has been a great experience. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for the opportunity, too. This is amazing. We got to bottle it and sell it at Disneyland.
I'm telling you, this is awesome. This is like what you say when you get to have fun and be in a high vibration.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
I'm not an emotional generator. I think I'm a manifesting generator. But, you know, it's great because I'm really curious about people. And when I can be allowed into your intimate space of, like, you talking about crying and tears, I value that trust. And that you're willing to allow me to present that to the public, I do not take that lightly, but I do take it delightedly. But to everyone who's tuned in, thank you so much, and we will see you on a future episode. Thank you for your listen and for sharing it with others, and I wish for you all of the blessings that you can possibly hold, and that those blessings spill out from you and bless the world around you. The light in me honors the light in you. Namaste.